Father. You know, Pastor said he prayed, Lord, please make this simple through Angela so I can understand it. You know, the disciples said the same thing. They said, Jesus, why do you speak like this? He said, if you can't understand me in earthly words, how are you going to understand me if I speak in heavenly words? Because they said, why don't you just talk plain? Do you know that the carnal mind cannot comprehend the spiritual things of God? It's not possible. It's absolutely not possible. So if I could just invite you for a moment into that hope chest that Shay saw coming down from heaven. Yes. It's inside of you. Your chest is the very dwelling place of the hope of Christ in you. What is Christ's hope that's in you? That you would wake up and see who you really are. Because if you could wake up and see who you really are, you would see that which is perfect has already come. And you would know yourself as you are known. So what does that mean? That little riddle, Angela, telling me stuff like that. It means that you are the beloved. Now look, notice the word beloved has an ED on the end of it. That means that it's already settled. That you were loved before you ever came here. And love cannot fail. Love is not puffed up. Love keeps no account of wrong done to it. Love trusts all things and love hopes all things. And that's what was in you before you came here. In 2 Timothy 1:9, it says that God called you. That means he proposed to you as in marriage. And he saved you. Not according to your works, but according to his purposes. And then he graced you. When? Before time. Before time. That blows my mind. It blows my mind because my mind cannot comprehend something that was before time. As a matter of fact, in 1 Samuel 9:9, it says, before time in the land of Israel. What does that mean? That means before measurement, before things could be figured out by man. Before there was something that could contain the glory of God. And it be visible. Because see, the only way a human can see something is if it has a height, a depth, a width, and a breadth. If it doesn't have that, you can't see it. That's why the carnal mind can't. That's why it was in the land of Israel before time. Because Israel means in the land where only God rules. That means only God judges. Only God judges. Only God can eat from that and not die. Only God can eat from that and not be ensnared. Only God can eat from that and arise out of it. And I propose that we haven't seen that yet. You know why? Because we've been deceived. We've lost our Eve identity. Deceived. Deceived. By whom? The serpent. The serpent actually means one who moves about with scales. What do you do with scales? Anybody have any in your bathroom? What do you do with them? You measure your belly by standing on it. It's called a measurement. It's called a weight and measurement. And that's what we've been eating from that tells us that we are not good enough unless we know good and know how to abstain from evil. The problem is we see in part and we know in part. And because our eyes don't see clearly, we then judge amiss. Or that means we miss the judgment or the calculation or the mark. What mark is it that we've missed? The love of God. That's the mark that you missed. That's the mark that I've missed. I've missed that God already loved me before time, saved me, called me, graced me before time. People get upset about that. I didn't write it. In Hebrews, it talks about predestination. Now, I'm not going to get in the topic of predestination because that in and of itself assumes a lot of things. But I am going to tell you that before time, your heart was written with the finger of God and you are an epistle or a scroll and you're just living out what was already written. It was already written. Are you made in the image of God? Is there anyone in here who does not know we're made in the image of God? Does everyone believe we're made in the image of God? And that image was both male and female. Now we know that even though it says that God made man male and female, or Adam male and female, mankind, do we not also know that Christ was there at the same time? Even though it doesn't mention him there, isn't that correct? Why? Because we know in John it says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So if you're made in the image of God, male and female, you're also made in the image of God, Word, or a scroll, or a written epistle. So even though you can't see him in the garden, it doesn't mean he wasn't there. Because there is nothing that was made without him. And there is nothing that is held together without him. As a matter of fact, there's a molecule called an adhesion molecule that's in every cell in your body, and it's called laminin. Now, why isn't it called something else? Because the laminin is in you. The Lamb of God, the sacrifice of God, is written in every cell. It's what holds you together. It actually is in the shape of a cross. Isn't that amazing that just because you couldn't see it doesn't mean it wasn't there? Guess what else we can't see? An omnipresent God. How do I know that? Because when we judge something as good and evil and you're looking at an omnipresent God and don't know it, guess what you're judging? Anybody want to guess? You guessed it. God. You're judging God. In the book of Hosea, I think it's in the chapter 6, it says, you have judged mischief against God. In other words, we haven't seen his goodness because we see in part and we know in part. And that happened when we ate from something that was created rather than the someone who did the creating. Because see, when God put the tree in the garden, it was not an accident. Nor was God ignorant. Nor was he indifferent. Before the foundations were laid, Christ died for us. Why? Because God knew without a remedy, we could not return to him. Didn't we sing a moment ago? Do y'all believe the words you sang? Let me ask you that first. I'm setting you up. Okay, you believe the words we sang, right? Did we not sing that everything is from God? Did we also sing that it's for God? And does it come back to God? Okay, so I didn't make that up, right? Okay, I'm just making sure we're all on the same page, right? Because see, in our judgment, we assume that some things are not of God. My. Sounds to me like we're a little bit confused, just a tad. Right? Aren't we? How would you think I know that? I got something called a mirror. And it comes to me every single day of my life in different fashions. Do you want to know what my mirror looks like? Look in your mirror and you will see it. I look just like you. That's why Jesus said, if you knew my Father, if you'd seen my Father, you'd know me. Why? Because once you've seen yourself, what you've understood is that you can see everybody else as you. Every single one of us. And Jesus prayed that I would be one in the Father and in him, and that we would be one in each other, and then you and I would have that same oneness. But we've been deceived. We've lost our identity. And if you lose your identity and I lose my identity, guess what we're always doing? Looking for who we are. And we're trying to find it by somebody telling us what to do so that we could do it. We're no different than it was in the garden in that day. We're no different than it was in the land of Egypt in that day. or in the wilderness in that day, or in the land of Galilee in that day. As a matter of fact, the Sea of Galilee literally means the cycle of the heathen. And Jesus had to go by the way of the Galilee. That's a riddle, Pastor. Did you understand? Did I make that sense? If Jesus had to go by the way of the Galilee, what it's really saying is he had to go by the way of the cycle of the heathen. He had to become a man. That's what it's saying. It's saying that he had to come to earth and put on humanity. He had to leave his former state of that which was spiritual and put on the flesh. Why? Because he's your equal opposite. You came in the flesh so that you could die and put on the spirit. That's the equal opposite. That's called a marriage, which is what the book is about, No Longer Deceived. It's about being married. Who in here does not have my book, Good Morning Sunshine? Anybody not have it? First hand it went up, you can have it. Come get it in green. This book is about me waking up. And it's spelled M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Why? Because it was only, you're welcome. It was only through sorrow and suffering did I wake up. Now, people have told me, Angela, I have suffered so much. I have had enough suffering. I don't want any more suffering. Let me propose to you that you have drank of it not knowing your worth. And therefore you drank of it unworthily. There's another riddle, Pastor. So what are we supposed to be drinking of it in? Remembrance of him. Now the cup represented sorrow and suffering, and the bread represented a broken body. Whose suffering and whose broken body? Us and Christ, together in something called copulation, or to roll together, or to be a twin, or to dance and whirl as one. Because when we read words in the English, what we don't realize is that the Tower of Babel, all words were scattered like seeds in a garden. And in due season, after the darkness has had its way with the seed or the word, it then shoots forth out of that darkness and manifests in the light. At the same time, its roots are still in darkness. We think darkness is something bad. Why? Because we've seen in part and we've known in part. But God is revealing right now the mysteries of his glory. That word glory has a lot of meanings. One of its meanings is wife, bride, one with whom I will copulate, one who will give birth to my word. See, when you give birth to something, that means it's never been seen before. It's never been heard before. It's never been tasted before. You may have tasted a tomato, but not this tomato. Why? Because it's going to be birthed from that seed. Do you understand that when we eat the Word of God, that it's not supposed to come out of our mouth looking like it went in? Can you name any seed that has ever manifested fruit that came out of the ground looking like what it went in? Anybody? No, you can't. So part of our mind goes, wait a minute, Willis, I ain't never heard the Word of God say that. What you talking about, Willis? I'm talking about fruit of the womb of God. And the womb of God is not made with hands. Neither is it flesh and blood, but it is revealed in that which is created, and it is revealed in flesh and blood. And guess who ate the seed, or from the seed, from the fruit that only God could eat from? Adam and Eve. First Eve, and then Adam. Now, do you understand that before she ate it, she saw it, she heard it, she smelt it, And before she tasted it, or at the same time she tasted it, it whispered to her understanding of knowledge of right and wrong. And she felt really good about it. It felt satisfying, tasted good, smelt good, sounded good. Why? Because it sounded like this: if you would just know to do good and not evil, you'd be blessed. They were already blessed, as are we. So then she says, "Look, Adam, this is really good." Now, why did she not see that it was evil? She ate it. She tasted it. She smelt it. She touched it. She heard it. How could she not hear the evil part? Because she is only soil. She is a womb. She was not the ability to manifest that seed which she had just taken. So she gives it to her husband, who, by the way, happens to manifest seed. Is he not the farmer? Does he not give seed? So he tasted and he said, "Oh my goodness, we're naked." And they saw that they were cunning, that they were naked. It's the same word. It also is the same thing as in lack. And they saw that they were lacking. So guess what they saw? They had the judgment at that moment that God didn't cover them, that God didn't have their back nor their front. So they covered themselves with the knowledge of right and wrong. And what do? We attempt to prove our love towards God by being good. And Jesus himself refused to let a man call him good. While at the same time, we are teaching each other to be good and abstain from evil. Because we don't understand what we're saying. He said, "You who are teachers are still on the milk of the word," which, by the way, is salvation in Christ, the laying on of hands, the raising the dead, and the casting out of devils. He called that milk. He called that nursing on your mother's breast. Long ago, we should have been teachers and eating meat and having our senses exercised, but we still were. He couldn't even teach them some of the mysteries. Why? Because their hearts were darkened in their imagination, according to Romans chapter 1. Your hearts have been darkened, so has mine. How? Knowledge. What does knowledge do, the Bible says? Puffs us up. We look like a puffer fish. And we're going to huff and puff and blow the house down. Because we think, who did that? It was called a wolf. I call him Uncle Big Bad. You know, Big Bad Wolf. Uncle Big Bad, ha ha. We still think that we have to blow something down. We still think that we have to do something. You're in the book of Hosea. He says, "Nothing will deliver you but me. Nothing will deliver you. Not your wars. Nothing will deliver you but me."